Here he is, our main man, our TSN resident scout, longtime GM, our good buddy Craig Button, back on Overdrive. How you doing, Craig?
I'm good, Brian. How are you?
Oh, doing well. We're doing well. We're analyzing what's going on in the country, and obviously in Montreal, not going so well. They start 0-4. They got smoked last night. What do you make of Marc Bergevin deciding maybe I should speak with the media today? What does that tell you about where his head is at and what the Habs are dealing with these days?
So, I mean, I think that there's, you want to hear from your GM and, you know, try to, you know, address what the issues are. I mean, I think it's always a positive thing when a GM speaks. In fact, I don't think GMs speak enough. You know, I mean, the public pays, you know, big money to watch their teams play and to support their teams. And I don't think the GMs speak enough. I'm not suggesting they should speak every day, but I think they should speak a hell of a lot more. And they should certainly be speaking when you're in the ditch. The fans want reassurances from your GM and your leaders. Like, do you think a general goes to war and doesn't speak to the public? It's a joke. That's what it is.
No, it's a great point, Craig. It reminds me of when Burke was here, when Brian Burke was here, and it would change, it would fluctuate at times, but Brian always said, listen, if I'm going to come out when we're winning or if we win a Stanley Cup and I'm out there talking during a parade, I better come out and talk when we suck. And the early years of Burke being here in Toronto, this team was pretty terrible. And he came out all the time. He was talking weak. He probably talked too much, quite frankly. But something's changed here in the sport where you don't really hear from GMs too often.
Yeah, let's not hear from the leaders. And the questions, and they shouldn't be. You should take all the questions, and you should know how to answer them and frame them. And you know what? Like, you want to sit there and you want to tell me, oh, the media is hard? That's another bunch of garbage. You know what? You get paid a lot of money. You're in the public spotlight. If the media's hard, don't take the job.
Craig, you mentioned the ditch in Montreal. How big of a ditch are we talking here? It doesn't look good. I don't want to get too crazy after four games, but I called it the cloud of just negativity where nothing's going right. Like, no systems work. Special teams is all garbage. Individually, no one's going. It's the perfect storm of negativity, and in my estimation, it's a pretty big ditch.
Yeah, I think it's a real big ditch. In fact, Jeff, I don't think they might not win another game this season.
I like it. Put that one on Instagram.
I'm not going down that path again, I'll tell you what. Hey, Jeff, you nailed it. Okay, so they can't score, they can't defend. I think the only bright spot in their team has been Jake Allen. Like, in two games, he's been really good where he gave up two. Last night, he was left out to dry. Other than that, I can't find one positive in any area of their game. Power play, penalty killing. You remember last year when Dominic Ducharme took over? And everybody, like, Alex Burrows is new on the job. They get a power play goal or two in the first few games. Oh, geez, how brilliant is Alex Burrows? Listen, he wasn't that brilliant then, and he's not that dumb now. But it's a reminder of the people, stop singing the praises and dishing out the accolades like they're M&Ms on Halloween night. You know what? Somebody's got to prove themselves. And, you know, we're too quick, and I say we collectively, to sit down and go, oh, Ryan, what a great job after two games or after 3 weeks. You know, their power play stunk. You know, Manny Malhotra came into Toronto. Just look at their power play month to month to month to month. It went from good, it went from very good, to bad, to downright ugly.
All right, so what about the ditch in Winnipeg at this point, Craig? Let's go ditch diving here, coast to coast, all right? They're not in a good spot defensively. They've
ditch diving.
Been leaking oil. Connor Hellebuck doesn't look good. What kind of shovel are we talking about in Winnipeg?
Well, okay, so there's a couple things here, and I'm going to put it right on the coach and the coaching staff. The issues that have plagued the Winnipeg Jets for a number of years are rearing their head again. You know, hooking penalties, slashing penalties, sloppy defensive play. And you know what? I think this is a good team. Mike Johnson and I talked about it. We talked about a team that looks really good on paper. Well, guess what? Paper doesn't win you nothing. So at the end of the day, when you sit down and you watch, and I'm seeing the same things happen again and again and again. And either you have the wrong players, which I don't believe, or the coaches better find better solutions. Because that game last night, Neil Pionk takes a slashing penalty. You know, the slashing standard didn't just come in this year. You know, takes a slashing penalty on the hands. That led to the fourth goal. Then the offside, you know, you're up one goal. Why is the coach trying to get Kyle Connor his cookie on a hat trick goal? You know what? You haven't won a game. It's 5-4. The Minnesota Wild are coming, and you put them out there. Okay, that's great. Well, now the goal gets negated. And what happens? He leaves them out there. Are you kidding me? And then Neil Pionk makes another terrible play. And now it's 5-5. You know? So, again, like, you know, Paul Maurice, he's done a good job. To me, he's got to do a better job.
All right, let's go south to Chicago, Illinois. There's a ditch in Chicago right
We're
now.
We're calling this segment dumpster diving.
Dumpster diving or ditch diving.
Whatever it is. I mean, something's going on in Chicago because it's ugly down there as well. Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't look good. Colleton's getting called out. You know Stan Bowman's going to take his heat. What is up in Chicago? Why is it so ugly, and why can't they get out of this?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not a very good team. You know what makes good teams is good players. And when you don't have enough good players, don't be surprised that you're not a good team. And, you know, they were one of the worst defensive teams in the league last year. And, you know, they were better last night. You know, Ilya Sorokin played really well. So you, I don't care who you put in the net. I mean, Corey Crawford was an outstanding goalie. Robin Lehner a few years back played really well there in front of a really porous defense. And now Marc-Andre Fleury is behind a porous defense and a porous team. And, again, you know, like, you know, watching Jeremy coach, like, you know, he has a team that I would call incomplete. Like, if they get pushed into a game that they can't play in or a situation, they're in real trouble. They don't have a team that can defend. They don't have a team. If they want to go all out offense, they're struggling defensively. If they want to go defensive, they're not good enough and they can't score. So they're a flawed team, a massively flawed team. So, you know, we can talk about Marc-Andre Fleury. Why don't we go to the next question? Who's Canada's goalie for the 2022 Olympics?
We were just saying that, Craig. We were just wondering that ourselves because 2 weeks ago it was Carey Price and Marc-Andre Fleury and then whoever's in a suit as the third guy. We'll worry about that down the road. Who knows what's going to happen with Carey? If Flowers playing like this, I mean, who knows what his stats are going to look like come Christmas time when they're picking the team. So, Noodles, you were throwing out Binnington, Kemper.
You know,
Mackenzie Blackwood, but he's not vaccinated, so I don't know, can he be included?
And he's got a foot injury right now, too. Like, they're just, it hasn't been a banner start. I think Binnington would be, he's battle-tested and would be a solid, you know, choice. I think Holtby is a guy who's been on the radar before. There are guys. Darcy Kemper, I think, is a fantastic goaltender, although he's, you know, Colorado's had their struggles early on. You know, a lot of these teams that we do have expectations. I'm going to slide it over to a positive side here. We're going to crawl out of the ditch. Am I allowed to do that here?
Yes, we're climbing. Let's go climb. Positive climbing.
Okay, so like we all called it, Buffalo 3-0.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love the Sabres. You knew I loved the Sabres.
Yeah. Craig, what do you see in there? Is that just kind of a outlier and they'll come back to earth quicker than you think?
Let's go, Buffalo. Let's go, Buffalo.
Yes.
Hey, Bills and Sabres, Super Bowl and Stanley Cup champions after all their bad luck. Yeah. This is their year. Hey, you know what? I like the way they played. I mean, Donnie Granato's a friend, and he's a longtime friend, and I really like him. And I think he was deserving of that job. And when he took over last year, it was a team in just shambles. You know, Ralph Kruger, you want to talk about a disaster? He was a disaster. And you could see that the team was not even going to respond to anything. Like, he could have come in there and thrown $1 million into the middle of the room and said, hey, guys, here's $1 million. They weren't going to buy it. They weren't buying into anything Ralph Kruger was selling. They're buying into Donnie Granato. They play hard. They play together. They play with passion, and they play with purpose. And, you know, we know that this isn't going to continue, and we know that they're a team that's rebuilding and trying to stock up. We know that. But at the same time, they have a committed group of players. And when you have a committed group of players, Jeff and Jamie, you know this. You know, you might have a little less talent, but when you're committed, you can have success to a certain degree. It's not going to be ultimate success. And likewise, when you have talent and you're not committed, you're not going to have success. And I'm really impressed with the way they played last year under Donnie, and I'm really impressed with what they've done in the first three games. But you know what? Hey, with all the negativity surrounding the Buffalo Sabres, it's really nice. And, you know, hopefully the fans come back, because we do know that that's a good fan base down there in Buffalo. And, you know, they needed to see some signs that, hey, this is a team we want to get behind.
Craig, you were just mentioning about Freddy Krueger going in there and nobody buying into what he was saying. What is the one key element? And Donnie Granato, he said he's a friend of yours. I like Donnie, what he does back there. But he's not a well-known guy. I'm sure some of the players didn't really know a ton about him. What is the key when a coach walks in the room, whether it be Freddy Krueger or Donnie Granato, where the players, it just clicks and says, I want to buy what that guy's selling?
Well, I'm going to state the obvious first. So somebody that walks in with a winning pedigree, you know, you're going to listen. I mean, a coach might even try to express things. You go, oh, geez. But because he's won, you give him the benefit of the doubt. So that's the obvious answer. But again, Jamie and Jeff, you know, when you've played and you've played for a long period of time, I don't think players, and I think this is a real problem, get enough credit for knowing what will work and what won't work. And so when a coach comes in and starts talking about a plan, right, I believe that a plan has to incorporate two things. You know, players want to have individual success, and you're trying to get them to understand that they can have the individual success and how we can have success as a team and how it's linked. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be long. But, you know, the players know when you're going up against a good team and you're going, well, geez, we're gonna go head to head with our fourth line center against Connor McDavid. You're sitting in the room going, are you kidding me? Like, Jamie, you're a goaltender, and you're going, well, we're gonna play that, we're gonna pinch, and you know what team that's really good offensively? The Red Wings are coming at you. It's not gonna work. And that's the credibility factor. But the credibility factor comes into understanding that the players know. And they do know. Do they need guidance? Do they need reassurance? Do they need reminders? Yeah, they do. But they know what's a good plan, and they know what isn't a good plan.
With Craig Button, our TSN hockey analyst. Again, looking at the top of the standings, Buffalo's off to a really good start. Edmonton's 3-0. And Florida's 3-0, and that was a team we continued to point to. Nudos, you brought them up a lot. Like, they really had a quality season last year in the bubble within the division, and they're off to a rock star start. And, you know, this Atlantic division, it's difficult to get a read on because Tampa's dealing with their turnover. Now Kucherov's injured. You know, Boston's dealing. They're off to a bit of a slow start. Krejci's gone. Tuukka's gone. How do you see it playing out? I know it's early here, Craig. But in terms of where you see the Atlantic Division going with teams like Florida and Toronto, can Ottawa, who looks good early in the season, stay in the hunt? What do you make of this division so far?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a competitive division, I think. You haven't mentioned Detroit.
Right,
Detroit's
great start.
Detroit's been a hard out, right? I mean, they blow that game against Tampa Bay. So what I see is a competitive division. Outside of Montreal, which has shown that they're not competitive, the other seven teams have shown real competitiveness. And, you know, is there a perfect team out there? No. I like Florida. I like what Florida did last year. You know, I talked to Brian Engblom after the Tampa Bay-Florida series, and one of the things he said, in all his years of broadcast, he'd seen a few series that were as hard and as edgy as that series, he said, but not very many. And, you know, I think that that's the way Florida plays. Tampa Bay shows they can stand up to that. So the competitive level in this division is high. Jeremy Swayman's a really good goaltender. And, you know, they still have that number one line. It's still an outstanding line in Boston, and they got to find some contributions in other areas. But Ottawa's a hard out. Toronto's, you know, I mean, other than Shesterkin on Monday night, I mean, Toronto wins that game by a touchdown. Yeah, right. Toronto looked really good. Like, so I think it's going to be competitive. I think you could, I definitely see a scenario where four teams come out of the Atlantic for the playoffs. You know, I keep hearing about the Metropolitan and, oh, there'll be five teams. I don't see it. I don't see five teams coming out of the Metropolitan. And so, you know, when I look at it, I definitely see four teams, and I see a real battle for that last, call it the eighth wild card spot, even the seventh one. But I see four teams that are capable of being there, and that is Florida, Tampa, Toronto, and the Boston Bruins.
with Craig Button. As for where the Leafs are at and where they're moving here, obviously Morgan Rielly in his contract year, and there's a lot of focus on these other deals that are being signed throughout the league from high-end players. Some guys that are younger than him, but, you know, Charlie McAvoy got a big deal. Darnell Nurse got a big deal. Dougie Hamilton, Seth Jones in Chicago. What do you think the Rielly camp is thinking right now as he progresses through this season and how these negotiations could work out in the end?
The Rielly camp has got whenever they phone Morgan, his ring chime is ching, 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 ching. Yeah. That's what it is. You know, he knows, oh, that's my agent calling. Listen, Morgan is a 25-minute-a-game player. He plays all situations. He skates. He's not going to fall off. To me, he's going to get a really good contract. The interesting thing for me, and we can speculate all the time we want. So, if they sign, let's just say Toronto signed Morgan Rielly right today, and let's just I'm just going to take the nine number. I don't know anything. Let's just take the nine number. And now you have that nine number. What speculation do you think's gonna start? If he did that right today,
if he locked in a nine immediately, well, I guess it would have to be someone's got to go, right?
Well, and so now all the speculation surrounds who's going, right?
Yes.
So if I'm Kyle Dubas, you got to wait till the end of the year. You got to wait till the end of the year to evaluate where your team is at and to see how far they can go and try to build on, you know, some of the regular season success that hasn't translated into postseason success, and then make your decision. Because I don't think that signing Morgan Rielly right today would help, because it just becomes an uneasy situation all surrounding the team, because everybody's looking at one another going, well, who's gone?
Right.
Who's gone?
Right. Yeah, because the math doesn't add up. Yeah,
Greg, would they be starting with a nine? Would their camp be starting with a nine?
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any question, Jeff. I just don't think there is. Because look at his minutes. Look at how he plays. He kills penalties. He plays on the power play. He plays 5-on-5 against the other team's top players. I mean, Charlie McAvoy is a little bit younger, and we know that. But Charlie McAvoy, and that's the guy I use as an example, and Charlie's really good. But I see Morgan as a comparable type in terms of style. You know, they might not put up these big, gaudy offensive numbers, but they play all situations in the game. And I don't know who doesn't want a defenseman like that.
Well, and that's the one thing you bring up is there's decisions to be made, and Kyle will probably kick the can down the road based on their success with this group. The other one that probably won't get as much fanfare is Jack Campbell, who's an pending unrestricted free agent. You know, statistically, he's played extremely well. Not statistically, he has played very well in a Leaf uniform. He hasn't even played 100 games in the league yet. So it's you've got Mrazek for another 2 years at
3.8, I believe.
3.8.
That's going to get some noise, though, down the road, Noodles, if he keeps playing
well. But
that's
my point is, you know, if Jack Campbell pushes through as a 50-plus starter, it's easily something with a 5 in it. Like that. So now all of a sudden you're going to have to spend that money in net, and then you got Morgan Rielly pending. Like, I think these are big decisions, but you want them to be positive decisions based on success, and that's what you're hoping to translate regular season success and go, yeah. But Craig, I guess my question is, do you see any of them getting to a point where you can extend them right now, or do you just have to let this all play out and then pay the piper at the end of it?
I think you use the term kick the can down the road. I think that that's what you do. And for the reasons you just pointed out, Jamie, you know,
right,
like what kind of success, it gives you more certainty. And it gives you more certainty too. I mean, when the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, at the end of the last year, they just said, well, we're not signing Goodrow. We're not signing Coleman. You know, we're going to have to let Gord go. Here's the guys that are available. And they obviously they'd won two Stanley Cups, but that's the decision they were left with. Now, like they might have been left with they might have looked at different areas if they didn't win or they were knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. And I think that's what Kyle and the Toronto management group has to do. They, you know, you know, they said they believe in the group, and now they want to see what the group can do. And I think that'll shape a lot of their decisions down the road. So I just don't see. I mean, you could sign Jack Campbell now again, and we've seen kind of a little bit of a carousel around the league with goaltenders the last couple of years. You know, I can't imagine that if Jack plays at the same level that he's at, that he's not going to be in demand around the league. So, you know, it becomes a quandary in the sense of you'd like to keep all your players, you'd like to get things done sooner rather than later, but I think where they're at, that they're going to have to wait. I think it's prudent to wait.
Well, we've got all season to see how it all plays out. We're early into it, but it's been a great start. It's always great having you on, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
Thank you, guys, and stay out of the ditch.
Yes, we will. We will try our best. There, thanks, Craig. There's Craig Butner, TSN resident scout and GM.